Welcome to Law of Attraction in Action. Thank you so much for listening. I'm very, very excited about my guests today. I have two wonderful people here who are world travelers and nomads, and their story is so inspirational. I was so excited when they said yes to be on my podcast, and they happen to be here in Portland, Oregon, in my home. So I am so excited to see them in person as well and have them share their journey with you. So I have Stephen Shewak and Dora Reese, and they are just so lovely and have so much to share. But before I go to any more introductions, I'm going to first have Stephen first share kind of his life. When I met Stephen, he came to my meetup group where I teach the Law of Attraction. And his journey started 3 years ago where he sold his house and is traveling all over the world. So I've been following him on Facebook. So impressed with all that he's done to where I'm like, I have to talk to him in person. And when he said yes to my podcast, I was like, yes. So Stephen, thank you so much for being here. And Dora, thank you so much too. And they'll tell you more about how they met because it's a beautiful soulmate relationship. So Stephen, how are you? Thank you for being here.
I'm glad to be here. And it's nice to be back in Portland. This is not where I grew up, but I do consider it to be my hometown. I did live here for 9 years, and but that was ended 3 years ago.
It was another life, right?
Yeah, I sold my house and everything in it, and started traveling internationally with carry-on luggage. So everything I own fits on a plane.
That's awesome.
And I think you asked how I came to that.
Well, yeah. What inspired you? Because I think so many people want to live an adventurous life. Like when I read what you write about your journey, I think how many of us would love to do this. So what inspired you? What made you say, screw it, I'm doing it? Like, what was that turning point?
Yeah, it's not necessarily the most exciting things. It's the old, when life gives you lemons, hopefully make some lemonade. So keep in mind that having been here in Portland, I had been part of a community of people who are travelers and entrepreneurs and creatives, and many of them are nomads and people who have left kind of the 9-to-5 and created a life on their own terms, which includes a subset of people who are travelers and who decided to sell everything. So it wasn't like I had never thought of that idea. And I'd seen people doing it on my Facebook feed and knew people personally who had made that transition. But in my particular case, it was a close succession of very difficult events that ultimately freed me from all responsibility, that allowed this window of opportunity to present itself, and that I decided to just jump into. It involved a divorce and some complications relating to that of infidelity, and then my dog got sick and she died a couple days later, and I was left with grieving of a past relationship, the grieving of my pet, who was as important to me as any person. And all of a sudden it was gone, and I was sitting in my big house, and I knew exactly what I was going to do. I was going to sell everything and start traveling. So it took me about 6-7 months of both grieving and processing all of that difficult information, and then moving into planning mode. And in about 3 months' time, I put my house up for sale, and it was done. And, you know, I had a 2-car garage, suburban home in Beaverton, Oregon, you know, backyard with a trampoline and the you know, a full house with stuff. And now, except for a few things stored in my mom's house, I've got those 2 carry-on bags.
You know what I love is I think most of us find our true path when we go through something traumatic. You know, that's what my book's about, Thrive and Shine, How to Find Happiness When Life Falls Apart, because when my life fell apart is when I found my true purpose. And I actually, when I met you, I don't know if you remember this, but you were probably at that turning point when I met you.
Things had begun.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you and I met, it was probably 2012, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I had, the reason I even found out about that Law of Attraction meetup group was I had my personal spiritual awakening a month before that. I actually made a timeline, and I was able to identify a 72-hour period at the end of February of 2012 in which I had my own personal spiritual awakening, and everything shifted. And two main things came out of it. One was I realized that I had been externalizing and placing myself in victim role for most of my life and putting the blame on everyone else. And so I decided I would, one, take 100% accountability and responsibility for my past, present, and future, and no longer blame anyone, which is I didn't know how to do that, but it was a scary thing.
That's huge.
Then second was, at the time I was at the beginning of the end of that marriage, and we were fighting a lot, and I said, I will never fight with this person again. And I somehow figured out how to do that. And so when I went to my very first law of attraction meeting, and I don't think you were there, mm-hmm. I made up a term for myself. And when I introduced myself to the group, I said, I'm an RNT. And then everyone was like, what's that? It was like a setup. And I had not thought of this ahead of time. And I said, well, you know, I'm Steven, I'm a recovering negative thinker. And I found this group, and you know, and they laughed. And I started experimenting with anything and everything. The law of attraction group was very helpful for me for getting opened up to prolific thinkers and writers and influencers, both dead and alive, in this space about how you can start to connect yourself in an energetic level.
Mm-hmm. So how did that lead you then to having that courage to just sell your house, just get on the airplane and not look back?
Sometimes you don't have anything left. Mm-hmm. There's nothing left for you here. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that is there is the unknown. Mm-hmm. And I mean, for me, my own threshold, everyone's on a spectrum, right? Everyone's got a different threshold for what is insane or what's crazy. And I have always been someone who goes against the grain, mm-hmm. always. Mm-hmm. I have a document from when I was 4 years old in preschool, where the teacher asked all the kids, what's your favorite thing that your mommy makes, food, and how does she make it? So, of course, this is way back when, in the early 70s, no computers, nothing. Mm-hmm. So they all the kids answered the questions. They transcribed it, printed it up. It was two pages. First page is full of like things like, you know, macaroni and cheese and apple pie and this and that. And then the last page, on the second page, there was a special category that said food for thought. And there were two kids who didn't answer the question correctly. One kid wrote about fire engines. And then I wrote a recipe called Nothing, where I took off the G and just had the N with the apostrophe. And my recipe was, you take nothing, you put it in a bowl, you add nothing, you get nothing. So I'm 4 years old. Uh-huh. I don't know what the hell. I mean, I have a blog post that I never even finished that's, you know, called Nothing, Buddha or Bastard. I don't know if I was, you know, on the path to the Buddha or I'm just an asshole. I'm not sure. But that is my first documented piece of material that I know of that says, you know, it's really hard for me to follow the mainstream. Uh-huh. So my threshold for adventure, for travel, I have a degree in outdoor recreation. I used to get paid to climb on mountains and go kayaking and lead groups and do that kind of stuff. So for me, it didn't seem that crazy. Plus, I mentioned I had a lot of people who had already done this. And I had also done a lot of travel before that, nothing this extensive. So it didn't seem that crazy for me.
Uh-huh. And what has the life been like now that you've been living for 3 years, not having a place to live, never having that certainty? What is that like?
It's great. It's super liberating. When I had my house, I was always worried about my house and my stuff and security. And, you know, is the water heater going to break? And, you know, am I going to have a flood? Am I going to have a huge expense? And so all of that is gone. I only need to keep track of the things that are in my bags. And, I always tell Dora, I was like, if you're a nomad and you can't find something of yours, you got a problem. Because if everything you have is in two bags and you don't know where it is, something's wrong with your life.
And we were talking earlier about decluttering. So, you know, how decluttering opens up space for more to come into your life. Sure. And we think when we say more to come into your life, it's more materialistic things. But what it does is you get rid of that stuff. You allow more of you to come into place. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I mean, there's the decluttering of physical things, certainly. And then there's the decluttering spiritually. There's mm-hmm. the decluttering of our conditioned beliefs and stories that are, you know, get implanted into our brains by not necessarily intentional, but by the parts of our society. I mean, there's certainly with our own parents and with our caregivers, with our schools, with whatever religious affiliation someone might be part of, with our media, you know, there's lots of messages that are not your own thoughts, but we adopt them as if they are our own. And then we start trying to apply and live by someone else's rules. Someone else has, for many people, that they've the book of their life has been written for them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And there's this tension and dissonance that people can feel between something that's not theirs that they're trying to execute that's mm-hmm. not working.
Right. I'd say the vast majority of the population feels this way. I think, and again, the schools are the one area we were talking about the earlier, Dora, is the mm-hmm. schools are what kind of automatically make people feel the sense of, you know, conformity and regularity and consistency. And yet, like you being 4 years old, you're like, I don't want to play this game. And I love that. And there are a lot of people like you out there and like me, because I feel like I'm outside the box thinker. I never fit in. Yeah. I was goth in eighth grade back when nobody was doing it. And I love that time because I knew I had to be me no matter what. And I didn't care what people thought. And so the older we get, I love that you are showing you are not giving into the whole society what life needs to look like. You're saying, I'm going to do it my way. When on your travels, I mean, what are the reactions to you when you travel? Like, when do you meet other people like you, or are people like thinking, I want to do what you're doing? Or people are thinking you're crazy? What do you get?
A little bit of everything. A little bit of all of those things. Dora has met in her travels more people who had become nomadic than me. So I don't know why that is. Maybe the places she was visiting, perhaps.
Also, there's a huge yoga teacher community. Yoga teachers tend to travel a lot and work in different places in the world. So most of the nomads I know, they are yoga teachers.
So it's like this super, super subset of nomads who are yoga teachers, and they become nomadic because they can teach in different places. But for the places I was traveling, I've definitely met people who were like, oh, we're taking a year off. And I was like, no, you're taking a year on, bro. Like,
right.
This is like, you know, like, this is not a year off of what, you know, off of getting in your car with a cup of coffee and stopping at Starbucks and sitting at your computer terminal all day and, you know, saving for retirement. So when you're older, you know, aren't as agile as you are now. And so you can't even spend the money in the most exciting way that you could now.
Right.
Like, I don't understand any of these concepts that people... especially in American society. I mean, it's definitely a westernized concept, but in America, in this, you know, I don't want to say I'm anti-America, I'm still an American citizen, but I mean, the capitalism here and the greed and the bigger, better, more, faster mentality here is, it's just, I don't get it.
Yeah.
And I'm slower, less.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like my life is infinitely more, certainly, I kind of hate this buzzword of being authentic, because I'm not always authentic, but it's infinitely more in the now and full of a lot of adventure and a lot of fun and not a lot of stress.
Yeah. Oh, don't we all want that?
Yeah.
You know, one thing, I also want you guys to share how you two met, but, when you, all the travels you've been doing and you're meeting lots of people, actually, let me go to YouTube, because now I'm like, I want to go there. I want to talk about YouTube. But it is regards to law of attraction, because I know I've attracted my soulmate in your post, and this is a soulmate relationship. But you did this amazing post, blog post. And if you don't mind, I can share it on here.
Please get into it. Yeah.
Like, it's really good.
Yeah.
But what I love is that how do you find someone who's willing to live the way you are living? And it's that law of attraction. It's like a needle in a haystack, right?
Yeah.
And so you really put that out there, and that's in your blog post, and how important it is for you to find someone who's wanting to live this life. And she happens to be beautiful, so you scored.
Thank you.
I agree.
But Dora has also chosen this nomad life. So maybe before we talk about your journey together, Dora, why don't you say what led you into this life?
Well, we have actually, when we first talked, it was about loss, because I have a similar story. Like you just said, when you have a traumatic experience in your life and you kind of lose things, you realize that you cannot control life.
Mm-hmm.
In my case, I had a long relationship. We were not married because I don't actually believe much in marriage, although I come from a very Christian country, which is Portugal.
Portugal,
but,
right.
Yeah. Okay. But so I was with someone for 15 years, and he died suddenly, heart attack. And that was brutal for me because we were both very young, and I was 36, he was 38, and it opens up definitely. In India, actually, there's a guru who says that if loss is the first step to enlightenment, because you feel so much of your soul in that moment. There's, you know, when you have these big losses in your life, he had one. It's definitely a big one, but a big one, unexpected one. You are just there, and you cannot care about, you know, things like. What am I going to wear tomorrow? Or, you know, you just step into this soul realm, if you want it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so you,
so true. Yeah.
You have to actually listen to what do you feel? What's life about, really? And that changed. That changed me a lot. And from that moment on, I was not the same person.
Mm-hmm.
And I became very, very interested in everything that has to do with living in the now. Yeah, because he talks about that a lot. And I also believe it's very important to live in the now, because up until then, I was always thinking, oh, what am I going to do with my career? I was a translator, translating books, and I wanted to do this and I wanted to do that. And yeah, and it's more about the now. What are you feeling now? What's happening to you now?
Right.
What's happening to your heart, to your soul? And that's what happened to me. From that moment on, I wanted to be more in the now. And I realized that you don't need to have a lot of structure, and your soul actually wants to be more in the flow and move more.
Mm-hmm.
And I had decided that I wanted to be more in this flow, and that's how, being really honest to myself, I was looking for someone who wants to do that as well. So I believe in manifestation, and so I wrote a lot, like lists of and I have lots of drawings and of what kind of man do I want to have now? And
You haven't shown me those drawings, did you?
actually, when I met him, I was like you said, it's just
perfect.
It's him. You just know.
Yeah.
You just know. And
those lists are powerful. Yeah.
And because in a way, he was already everything that I wanted. I want this and this and this, so I have to get this and this. It's not that. It's more like it aligns with your soul. It's not like a transaction or anything. I'm not talking about that.
Right.
I'm talking about this alignment.
Well, and I think what it is, as we were talking earlier, is when you do the work, you find who you are, like you did through your loss and Stephen, you did through your loss, and you spend all that time really getting to know you and yourself.
Yeah.
So when you come into a relationship like this, when you know it's a soulmate relationship, it's because you're coming in as two wholes, right?
Absolutely.
Versus two halves.
Yeah.
And so, Dora, you are wanting someone to help you grow, and same for you, Stephen. And when we come together, And that place, it is, you just know. And I tell people all the time, because this is also about soulmate relationships, this podcast, because so many people come to me and like, you know, is this the one? I'm like, you would not question it.
Yeah.
When you find the one, there's no doubt in my mind. Yeah. And it just flows. And it, again, it's you did that list. And you, did you also do something? What did you do, Steve?
I had a little bit of a different way into that, which was making the same mistakes over and over again to the point of being like, I think I finally realize I'm doing the same thing over and over again and I'm compromising. And now it's time to draw the line in the sand in my own integrity and not budge on these specific characteristics, attributes. We're not talking about the way they look or,
right.
But about beliefs and mindsets. And once I finally got those straight and said, it may never happen. This person may not exist, but I have to abide by these. Once that happened, a day later is when we connected.
Nice.
It's that fast.
Yeah. Yeah. And I did the same thing. I got very clear and I said, God, you better send me someone who is going to help me on my path. Cause I do believe I needed him. And I do, like, for me and my soul and what I'm doing in my career, I absolutely could not have done it or cannot do it without my sweetie. So it's that spiritual, like, okay, here you go. You finally got clear.
Yes.
It's that clarity.
Mm. But the clarity takes some courage, because what a lot of people do is they settle. Mm-hmm. Right. And there's mediocrity and they're like, well, this is good enough. And then as you get older, you know, I'm in my fourth decade of life. And as you get older, you start to think, you've got these timelines, you know, maybe running in your head. If I don't get this and this person by this, that means I won't have these things. And so all of a sudden you start making these, you start acquiescing maybe on some of these principles. Mm-hmm. Or in a combination with that, you become jaded and cynical with the world and with relationships. You know, like, well, this is how all blank are, men or women or whatever partner you want. You put them in a bucket and they're like, they're all like that. I'm never going to meet this enlightened person that I want to meet, or whatever it is, those characteristics or attributes that you're looking for. And so you have this jaded thing. And so now you've got this energy of wanting, okay, which is much more needy. It's like a need thing. Versus knowing that this is what you will not settle for.
Right.
Okay. And those are two very different things. Yeah. Having this desperate, needy, and you know, you said about the hole, I couldn't agree more. I think one of the worst modern lines of any American movie that have ever come out that reinforces the romanticized view of love is Jerry Maguire's You Complete Me.
Yeah.
There is nothing more incorrect than that line. Yet people swooned when he said that and it's like, are you walking around as a half of a person?
Yeah.
And you need some other person? That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And there's also a very interesting line by D.H. Lawrence. He wrote that in a poem where he says, there's nothing more offensive than to say to a woman, you are perfect. It's in a way like, because both things are the same. You are idealizing.
And objectifying. Not necessarily objectifying in a sexual way. You're objectifying your idea of what you want this other person to be.
Uh-huh.
And we often confuse the difference between the relationship that we want, the idea, and the person who is enacting that role of your partner in the relationship. Those are not the same thing.
Yeah.
And so many people get lost on what the relationship should be.
Uh-huh.
And you can't have the relationship without the person.
Right.
And again, we're still talking in the very traditional realm of monogamy, right? That we all kind of generally accept. Because Dora and I are both reading a book that's called Sex at Dawn, which is this very fascinating book. And not that we necessarily believe in non-monogamy or polyamory, but I'm fascinated by it from a biological, evolutionary, psychological perspective what they are saying in this book, or what they're trying to prove, is that human beings, it's an idea, it's a construct. It's not a biological, physiological thing for monogamy. And it's really fascinating. So even within, so as much as I'm talking about being outside of the box, I am personally a serial monogamist, and I believe in that. Mm-hmm. And so does Dora. And I'm okay with being in that box. But mm-hmm. it's the other boxes are the ones that I broke out of early in life.
But I think that the truth is we all have something very individual. We all have, we knowing who we are, we have a unique quality to all of us. And the thing is, I love this word. I've heard this, and I use this every time I meditate, but surrender. Mm-hmm. Just surrender. Mm-hmm. Surrender to whatever comes to you. And that's being in the now, right? Surrender. Mm-hmm. So surrender your feelings. Surrender to what the universe is going to bring you, because the universe usually brings you something better than we can expect. And so if you surrender to this idea of I'm not coming up with a plan, which yeah. is what you've done,
yeah.
you have no idea what's next, but you're surrendering to that. That seems to me would serve you in all areas of your life.
Yeah. It's just that it can be very scary. And sometimes I don't like it, but
and thank you for sharing that. I think that's also like, not that I want, you know, this to be negative, but what are the downsides to doing what you're
doing?
Or maybe down, let's call them growth.
I mean, they're opportunities, right? You know, everything is the idea of like, is it a failure or did you learn something from it? I mean, was it a failure or you just have removed what isn't a good match for whatever you're doing? So why the idea of things being a failure or a mistake or whatever, it's really just how you frame it, right?
It's absolutely. All about your perspective. I don't think there's anything negative. I think there's just contrast.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like Abraham Hicks would say, or it's just how can I grow from this? What can I learn from this?
Yeah. So I like to play with words and phrases and make up my own terms. And so we were talking earlier, I have another acronym, which is ZOU, Zone of Uncertainty. And I started thinking about this as I was moving into not having a house, and what does it mean to have a home? Is a home a physical place? Is it the people that are around you? Do you need the physical place? How do you define what home is? Mm. And I wanted to play with that. And I wanted to ask myself questions in real time, in my own kind of path of the Buddha, you know, we all are on some kind of a journey, and there's no real new journeys, right? There's nothing new that we're any of us are really thinking, but we're all just playing with these ideas in ways that work for us. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to ask myself questions of like, well, who am I without a job, without a career title, without a profession, without other titles like being a husband, without being a dog owner or a homeowner? And the only title that I really took on was this title of being a nomad. Mm-hmm. And so I was forced to act to be in some situations where I don't know what's going on. And then I doubled down for myself, because I'm a little bit crazy, I guess. I doubled down by purposely putting myself in situations where I knew things were going to be sticky and messy and convoluted and very, very nebulous. Mm-hmm. So I mentioned before, not once have I used a guidebook. I don't travel with a guidebook. Often I just show up in a city and just figure things out. Mm-hmm. I like to have the first night of where I'm staying, but sometimes I don't do that. Dora has done that before.
Or doing something that is totally unknown for you. You did some, like, for example, doing a Vipassana meditation is totally unknown. It's for some people, they can't stand it. Or being in silence for almost a month, or something that you have never done before. It really, really scares you. It's totally out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
I remember, if I can tell this little story, one of the first things that was that I did that was for me out of my comfort zone was when I decided to go to India for my birthday and around Christmas time, when usually that was always a time that I would spend with my family, or there would be at least someone to say happy birthday to me. And I felt very scared at the fact there would be no one to say happy birthday to me. And I went there and I did a program, really scary. Everything was different and I didn't know what would happen. And on that day, I met a woman there, and she asked me if I would take care of her child. And he was a really cute boy.
Just for the day.
Just for the day. Yeah. It was my birthday. And And I was like, it's my birthday. I'm sitting here. I don't know anyone. So she asked me that. And I took care of him in the afternoon. And there was another lady that passed by and said, oh, can you also take care of my child? And so I was playing with these two children. And there was a woman that she passed by and she asked the boy, where's your mother? And he pointed at me. That's my mother. And I felt that's a little unexpected gift, because it's a little bit like, you know, your heart is present, so you get that was like happy birthday for me.
Aww,
you know, like he loves me that much that he's like he forgot his mother. So.
That says a lot about you,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So it's more like I had this idea in my mind. I need someone that I know around me to say happy birthday, because otherwise I will feel very lonely. But there will always be someone if you are there with your heart and present. There will always be someone that will give you that.
It's kind of like, you know, again, in the Western culture, we think about pushing ourselves and it's often in the framework of business or education, you know, these very kind of set concepts. But what we don't do enough, and which I think is where we should be pushing, is pushing our emotional limits and testing ourselves and asking ourselves tough questions. But what people tend to do, and I can almost hear myself being a little bit judgy, and I don't mean to be that way, but I find it frustrating that so many people seem to be stuck. And I myself was stuck, and I'm still stuck in certain parts of my life. It's not like I'm totally free and liberated, and I'm not. But we walk around with this belief system that kind of dictates how things are going to be. And so it's testing our own reactions to things. I'm my own experiment. Mm-hmm. And I put myself in places where I can see how I'm going to react. Mm. And if you're reacting with resentment, with fear, with anxiety, unless someone's coming at you with a shiv, you know, with a knife, mm-hmm. right? You're probably not in danger. But if you're reacting in situations where you feel like your ego is challenged and you need to be defensive and someone's even yelling horrible things at you, they're just words. Mm-hmm. We decide if we want to give those words meaning. You know, it's like the four agreements, you know, some of those, be careful with the words that you say. But also on the flip side of that is to not take yourself so seriously. Mm-hmm. And I think that people should be pushing themselves in the areas of that what is happening to us is a response or a reaction to the stimuli around us. Mm-hmm. And there's a difference between responding and reacting, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. when you are reacting, it's out of fear. It's out of like the animalistic. And a response to me denotes a more measured, more centered, more heart-based way to give the message back to what is happening. Mm-hmm. So, those two words are not synonymous to me.
And also because you have careful. It's also because the word responsibility.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's more like, you know, you
taking
are
taking responsibility for the way that you respond. And so unless you're physically in danger, like everything is subject to interpretation in your own mind. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so you were using the word surrender, and I think it's a perfectly fine word. And some people use the word acceptance mm-hmm. but they're really two sides of the same coin, which is letting go, this mm-hmm. idea of control we were speaking earlier. So many of us, including myself, even in nomad life, I need to control my physical things. I only have two bags, but I know where they all are at all times. And I have this mm-hmm. little system for making sure I don't lose things, especially when I'm moving locations all the time. So I have my own little systems of control. Mm-hmm. But I'm more open to things being more fluid in a bigger sense about where I am, where I'm sleeping. Some people are like, I would never sleep on this kind of a bed. I'm like, I'll sleep anywhere, whatever. Like, you know, if there's lizards around, whatever. Like,
yeah.
So it's all about your own thresholds. And the more you try to control every facet of your life, the more difficult your life is going to be to enjoy it, because you're trying to dial in it's like a giant cockpit and you're trying to dial everything as opposed to just let the plane sail, glide. Mm-hmm. But if you're dialing everything in, you're just wasting a ton of energy to something that you're never going to get right.
Right. And, you know, how have you changed? You obviously probably changed, grown tremendously in the last 3 years. Like, do you recognize your old self, especially probably being back here in Portland? Do you ever sit there and go, wow, I've really grown and changed? Or, I don't know.
I mean, the one thing Dora and many other people have noted about me who get close to me is I can be hard on myself, and I don't tend to see sometimes the changes or the shifts or the increases. And I sometimes can look at what hasn't changed as opposed to what has changed. And okay. So sometimes I don't always see that. So I don't know if I can totally answer that. I know when I'm back here, I get, and I need to do my continuing in my own work. I need to do more work about accepting where everyone else is at. You know, not everyone should live this kind of life that we've chosen. It's extreme. Mm-hmm. There's other ways to do it. You know, you can keep a home base and go travel for a few months' time. So I'm not advocating that everyone do this. Uh-huh. But what I am advocating is to at least question your belief system. Yeah. And that if you feel some kind of dissonance, and so many people don't even feel the distance because they're moving too fast. So I have this whole thing about slowing down everything to like a really slow pace. And a lot of people don't want to slow down because I think they know in the back of their mind that if they do, all their worries and fears are going to rush in.
And that's what I was thinking when I was saying how much have you grown and changed, because you've slowed down. You've been by yourself a lot on these travels. And so when you're slowed down like that and you don't have all those distractions, you don't have all the responsibilities, all of a sudden, all you have is you. And so when you're sitting there staring at you, how could you not grow? Because like you said, you can either stay with it or find something else to run away from.
I can be in Kathmandu as long as I've got an internet connection. I can get lost just like anybody else in Facebook or something like that. So it's like, unless you're totally off the grid and you have no way to really communicate with anyone else, and you maybe even have not a lot of people around, I can distract myself very well.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the mind always finds ways to distract itself from what it doesn't want to actually stop and listen to the soul, right?
Sometimes. And one interesting thing that's come up with, we've been living this very kind of cool, adventurous life for the last couple months, and we've been spending a lot of time together, and we realize that we haven't really spent much time apart. And I'm getting this feeling of like, I need to, you can keep moving forward, which is great. I don't want to sit in my past because that's not going to get you anywhere. But there does need to be some time to kind of reflect, to just sit with what's going on so that you can have these insights and put little pieces together. And when there's always movement, I think it's difficult, at least for me, to process at the same time. So, and because I have lots of time, I'm glad to be back in Portland where we're slowing down a little bit, but we're really looking forward to in October when Dora has some less responsibilities than what she has now, working remotely and managing an Airbnb property that she has where she doesn't have to do that anymore. We both are going to get a chance to really slow down individually and as a couple. And I'm eager to see what that reveals.
So I think what makes you guys interesting, at least for me, is that you are living in the flow and just seeing what comes next. And I'm doing that too as an entrepreneur. I think that's what I actually love about being an entrepreneur. And it's also the scariest thing about being an entrepreneur and scariest thing about you guys is to not know, but there's something exciting about not knowing. And I think for me, it's faith. What is it for you guys? What makes that unknown okay?
For me, it's like your soul will be guiding you. It's actually silence. So you have this space of silence that makes you just go. More like a silent path for me.
I think for me it's some version of faith. I'm not religious, more spiritual, and I know people say that a lot, but I believe in my own little, you know, Disneyland of my mind that everything is going to be fine. And I'm less interested in details these days in this part of my life as I am about like big picture kind of stuff. So even Dora and I were talking, I was like, I don't know what our future looks like. I just know that you're in it, I'm in yours, and that's really all that matters. And I want to be healthy and safe and have a place to sleep every night and, mm-hmm. you know, have my kind of Maslow's hierarchy of needs covered for sure, so that we can think about self-actualization things. But you have to believe in your own vision of what you want, like right, you were saying. Right. And if you doubt it, if you say, like I said before, the relationship, you say, I believe I'm entitled to having someone, but it's coming from a place of need, mm-hmm. as opposed to this is just, you know, I'm complete on my own. And this is like the icing on the cake. If it comes from that place, you're sending a mixed message to the universe or whatever you want to call it, infinite intelligence. Right. And you also have to believe that there is a connectivity between that. Some people don't believe that. And remember, everything that I'm saying is coming out of my mouth is an opinion.
Right.
It's not a fact.
Right.
It's only a fact in my mind.
Right.
There are no facts.
Right.
I can even argue with you that 2 + 2 is not 4. Yeah. Only in the world that we say that that's what these numbers are and that's what words are and words have meaning. If you really want to get existential about it, nothing means anything.
Right. I know. Yeah.
So I acknowledge that I live in this little bubble, and I live in like a health bubble, and I'm in terms of my safety, and I do somewhat risky things, and I don't always have active insurance going on, and people are like, that's insane. I don't have any retirement really, and I don't have any income at the moment. I'm living off of some savings, and people are like, what's your plan? I was like, I don't know. When I need to make money, it'll happen.
Right
now, I'm
that's
just enjoying
faith.
It.
Right. That's the faith. And that's the part that gets me going too. It's that faith. But I think to have that faith is we're completely in the now and just being, right? We're human beings. We're being. You have to be.
As opposed to doing.
Yeah.
Sometimes
right.
you just
right.
forget to be.
Yeah. Well, anyway, this is just fantastic. And I really appreciate your guys' journey. And I appreciate that you guys are helping other listeners in who may think, is this the kind of life I want to live? But more than that, I think is the emotional part of just following your passion, following your heart, and just be in the now. So that's how I kind of want to end this conversation, because I think that's a really beautiful, beautiful way to live.
Yeah,
guys.
We are also the nomads. So.
The nomads.
Yeah, I coined this thing instead of a nomad, M spelled in the traditional way. I've added a W, so it's Nowmad.
Oh, Nowmad.
Right?
Awesome.
And so we've been playing with that, and we have a little Instagram thing that's Nowmad Love, but this idea of being a nomad in the now.
And you know what, guys? I think someday they're going to be writing a book or be doing something, and they're going to be New York Times bestsellers.
Sure.
And you heard them here first on my podcast. Yes, that is right. Well, anyway, thank you so much, guys, for being here. Thank you, all of you, for listening. If you have a wonderful story to share and you want to be on my podcast, just go to my website at www.michelle-joy.com. That's michelle-joy.com. And thank you so much for listening, and happy manifesting.
Thank you.